All right, everybody, let's get started for today. This week, we are not doing any Ligon Duncan content. That's right. You know, there's always new people to the channel, and they always express surprise that we do, you know, 7-part, 8-part videos on 1 1-hour podcast. And hey, man, that's just how we do it here. You know what I mean? Some people like it, some people don't. A lot of people get sick of it after a while, but that's just how we do it. You know, I've got a lot to say. Anyway, I've been watching some old content recently of my own, which is, again, totally normal. That's totally normal behavior to watch your own content. And I used to do like 3- or 4-part series. You know, that was kind of my thing. You know, I'd do 3 or 4 parts. Now I'm up to like 8 parts. That's like my big thing. So we will, the Ligon Duncan one was 8 parts because I actually redid a whole section again because it was just that good. At least that's what I tell myself. In any case, you know, here's the thing. There's white pills everywhere if you just are ready to see them. There's just white pills all over the place. White pills for you, white pills for me, white pills for your friend, everywhere. And I got white pilled really hard yesterday. And the problem with this white pill, well, there's actually 3 white pills that I got yesterday. The problem is I can't say anything about them. But they're very, very good, and they're going to be public at some point. But man, I got so many white pills yesterday. I heard some things. I heard things that are happening, things that are going on, you know, and they're going to be, I think, for the most part, I'm pretty sure that at least 2 of the 3 will be public pretty soon. But we will see. White pills all around, man. We're all going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Evangelicalism is pretty much everyone in Big Eva. We're all going to be okay. That's the bottom line, you know. I got a lot of confidence in that kind of thing. But, you know, with all the white pills that we have, you know, there's also black pills. And for me, in my life, one of the biggest black pills is the New York Mets, man. I'm just way too black-pilled on them. You know, on Monday, we played the Braves, which are one of the best teams in the league. And we beat them, you know. We beat them, and actually we held on in the end, even though our backup closer just was throwing meatball after meatball. Not a single ball was softly hit. They were all sharply hit. 2 almost home runs, and somehow we held on to win. So that was nice. And then yesterday, we're down in the 9th, and we score 2 runs in the 9th, almost tying it. I mean, they're trying to win me back, but yeah, I'm way too black-pilled on the Mets. You know what I mean? We signed J.D. Martinez, and he didn't play in the first series. And the story was, well, he hasn't really seen live pitching. We gotta ease him in. I knew that was nonsense. I knew it was complete nonsense. A professional hitter doesn't need to be eased in to the lineup. And it turns out today he's got lower back tightness. Who knows when he's going to come? So, yeah, I'm black-pilled. I've seen this story too many times. Anyway, you don't come here to talk about the Mets and my black-pilledness. You come here to talk about Christian stuff. So we're going to talk about Christian stuff. I wanted to say this. There's this lady here who I assume is a porn star, or at least used to be, and now she's saying she's a Christian. And there's a lot of debate about whether you should accept her profession of faith or trust her, or you know things like that. And I wanted to read this post here by Controlled Neo. I have no idea who Controlled Neo is. You know, I'm not sure that he doesn't sound like he's a Christian the way he wrote it. But I'm going to read it because I think there is some truth here. There definitely is some truth here. Now, you might think that that's weird based on what you know about me and how I take baptisms and professions of faith very seriously. But here's what Controlled Neo says. He says, "Christians believe that this woman can truly be saved. The naivete of conservative Christians is driving more people towards atheism and Islam. The same naivete that is making your society crumble. Quote, accept everything and fall for anything." Now, I don't agree in principle that this woman, because she used to be a porn star, can't be truly saved. That's obviously not correct. That's not correct in Islam. That's not correct I guess it could be in atheism, because nobody can be saved in atheism. But that's not correct in Christianity, of course. Of course this woman can truly be saved. We understand that God has turned our own hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our situations. So that's not correct. I can't agree with the tweet, obviously, because it's just not the case, right? That being said, Control Neo here is actually onto something, in my opinion. The naivete of conservative Christians, there is a problem with that. That because here's the thing, like it's one thing to say, oh man, that's wonderful. God save this woman. You know, I was the other day, I was excited because the king of reggaeton decided to leave reggaeton to become a Christian. And Daddy Yankee. And that's exciting stuff, man. It's very awesome to see God save sinners and people, you know, recognize their sinful past and turn from their sins. That's exciting. And, you know, the reason why it's exciting to Christians is because, you know, most of us were in that position. And some of us sinned more, some of us sinned less, but we all have turned from our sins at some point. So that's exciting. And, you know, we know the angels in heaven rejoice and we can rejoice with them and all that kind of stuff. Wonderful. But here's where the naivete comes in, because often, and I think this happens too often, I don't know if it's happening in this case because I know nothing about this story. I don't know about this woman. I didn't see her conversion episode, whatever she did. I don't know. Obviously, people know about it. So she must have done some kind of podcast or something. I don't know anything about it, so I'm not making an opinion on this. But too often, though, we get a new convert or someone, you know, young, who's young to the faith, and then we put them in this spotlight, and we kind of like we entrust them too much, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right? We entrust them too much. And, you know, you would never do that with a child, right? You know, a child learns how to play baseball. You don't put him in the major leagues, obviously, right? Because he's not ready for that, you know, and that's, you know, makes sense with a kid. But we also got to understand that there are some people that are young in the faith, and that doesn't mean that there's no place for that person who converted. Like, let's just say you had a man and he converted from a life of porn, right? He was a porn star, and so he could be a pastor. You don't put him in a position like that to be teaching and to be, you know, a role model for people immediately. You over time, you let him earn it and things like that. And so the thing about grace is that it doesn't erase like common sense, right? This is the point. Like yes, God has grace on anyone he wants, but there's still a time of testing and learning and growing and discipleship and all of this kind of stuff. Not everyone needs to be put in a position like that. You know, you need to take some time. This is very true, especially with converts from other religions, right? You get a convert from another religion and then instantly he's thrown into apologetics against that religion. Probably not such a good idea. Probably not the greatest idea. And so, yeah, I think that controlled Neo here, he's not right, of course. I can't agree with him. But he's onto something. There is a naivete that we need to understand. And you know, there's so many different examples that you could use, right? You get a convicted child molester or something like that. No matter what, never, ever, ever should you have him in the position of teaching Sunday school to kids. Never. Never. You know what I mean? You can't be that naive. Not to say that he's not saved. Not to say that doesn't have a changed heart. But grace doesn't erase common sense. It doesn't. So anyway, that's my opinion on controlled Neo here, talking about this person. All right, so let's go to the main event here, because Yuri Brito, you know, he's the presiding minister of the CREC, all around great Twitter feed. I don't know him personally, but I know of him from his Twitter feed, which is fantastic. It's a great Twitter feed. There's so much biblical wisdom to be had. There's so many white pills. If you're starving for white pills, follow Yuri Brito, because he's got white pills for days, right? Just a great dude. And, a great Twitter feed. Because, again, I don't know the dude, but I've heard a lot of good things about him. I've heard he's a great dude. So I'm going to, from people I trust, so I'm going to go ahead and pass that along. I've heard this guy's wonderful. And I've read some of his writing, and it's usually really good. And again, white pills for days. He even wears the collar, which I personally very much appreciate. I love it. I love it. And so I just wanted to start there because, you know, I want everyone to know that I think Yuri is a good guy. I think he's one of the good guys. He's on the right team. You know, he's a fighter. The other thing about Yuri that's good is he's not like a, you know, constant tone policer. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's ever tone policed. That's beyond the scope of what I'm saying here. But he's not a consistent one. I know that for a fact. So if he says something that kind of strikes you as tone policing, in my opinion, you should take it a little more seriously, right? Because he's not one of these guys that always is like, oh my goodness, your tone. You know, like those people, you can just kind of reject their opinion immediately out of hand. You know what I mean? Because anything beyond Ned Flanders is too much tone for them. Anyway, but by the way, before I get into Yuri, Ned Flanders is not as bad as I remembered him. I watched a few episodes of The Simpsons recently, you know, over the course of the last few months. I've maybe watched a couple seasons of it. And Ned is a lot better than I thought he was. I remember him being. He's actually pretty cool, I think. He's got a rumpus room, for goodness sake. Drinking beers with Homer. I mean, he's just a solid dude. Solid dude. Ned Flanders, man. Good guy. I'm sorry. No more Ned Flanders slander. Ned Flanders slander. Yeah, yeah. No more slandering Ned Flandering. All right. Let's get into it. So here's the tweet that I want to provide a counterpoint to. So Yuri posts something about, anti-Semitism or Nick Fuentes or something. I don't know. I didn't read it, but that's okay. And so then we got an Anon Army member, a key member of the Anon Army. He goes by Dark Lord Reven, Lone Bulwark member. He says, "Hello, Pastor Brito. I wrote this thread in response to you, your post about Nick Fuentes yesterday. I'm hoping to advance the dialogue around this issue so we can start identifying where to fight our battles. Please give it a read." That's what he said. And he retweets his thread about Nick Fuentes. And Yuri responds and he says, "Thanks. I'd love to interact. As I mentioned in my other threads, my only requirement for engaging anonymous accounts is that you private message me with your identity and give me the name of your church/pastor. I will keep your identity confidential from the public." That's what Yuri says. And the Anon Army took big issue with this. And also the non-Anon Army has taken a big issue with this. They say that this is a ridiculous requirement. This is insane. And I saw a lot of people going way too far with the criticism of Yuri Brito. But, you know, whatever. I mean, this is Twitter, right? Who cares? But overall, this was not received very positively, which of course it wasn't. But I wanted to interact with this requirement because I actually agree to some degree with what Yuri is doing here, but I don't agree entirely because I'm very pro Anon Army. So here's a couple things that I thought of when I read this. So number one, it is totally fine and totally acceptable for you to have certain guidelines that you kind of abide by when you're engaging on Twitter, you know? And it seems like one of Yuri's is that if you're an anonymous account and you want to talk about a very contentious issue, because he says in another tweet, like, you know, I engage sometimes with smaller issues, but with bigger ones, you know, this is my requirement. You need to private message me your pastor's name and your name and stuff like that. And so, you know, that's one of his rules, right? That's one of his rules. And there's nothing wrong with having a rule like that for yourself. I have a rule like that. It's not about Anon accounts, but it's really about any account, right? Like my rule is I don't typically respond to literally anyone that's antagonistic more than once on Twitter. It's just a rule that I abide by. I don't make a big deal of it. I've never posted about this rule. But it's just a general guideline that I do. You might be able to go back and find examples where maybe I respond twice, or maybe I respond three times when it suits me. But as a rule, if someone's, you know, going to respond in a an antagonistic way, I don't typically respond at all. And if I do, it's usually never more than once. And the reason I have that rule, by the way, is I don't think that rule should apply to everybody. I don't think it's like a moral thing or a very serious thing. For me, it's just because I respect my own time. You know what I mean? I don't have time for that. I don't have time to go back and forth on text. I personally would rather devote that time to a phone call or a video call. And I've even told some people, hey, look, you know, I'm not going to talk about this on Twitter, but I'd be glad to take a few minutes and chat with you over the phone. It's easier to chat over the phone and 9 times out of 10, you know, no, they don't really want to devote that kind of time to it. And so that's totally fine. I'm okay with that. I don't want to devote time to writing out tweets. So there you go. So it's good to have these kind of rules. And I think in the anonymous case, I can certainly understand why Jiří would want the other person to have some skin in the game in order to talk. I can understand that to a certain degree. So I don't think this is like a terrible policy for an individual to have. You know, one of the things Jiří says is that he respects his own time. He's busy. He's the presiding minister of the CREC. And so, you know, this is kind of part of why he has this rule in place, right? So I have a problem with that. Jiří is completely off the hook, in my opinion, when it comes to a personal rule on how you engage in Twitter. I've got my own rules. That being said, I do think that this is a bad policy in general. I think that if everyone takes this policy, that is a big mistake. A big mistake. Because here's the thing. It's bad out there. It's really bad out there. And I'm really white-pilled on everything in the church for the most part. But in this case, this is not a small issue that we have out there. Because here's the problem that we have. Jiří Brito is the presiding minister of the CREC, which in my opinion is better as an institution than many churches out there. But many churches out there are not as good as the CREC, right? And so you could get excommunicated from your church for very minor offenses that aren't even really offenses, right? So like if you ask the question, man, why does a rabbi own Pornhub? Well, how does that comport with his worldview? How does that, what does the Talmud say about this? If you even say that kind of stuff, right? And you have opinions on that, of course, but you're asking those questions publicly because you're looking for people to give you their takes as well. That's enough in most cases to be excommunicated, right? You didn't even say anything wrong. You just said, this is why people do that, where they're just asking questions, I think. I find that so annoying, and I find it a very weird way to argue, in my opinion. Although I've done it before at times, and so you can say, "Hey, you're a hypocrite." But you know, a lot of times when I do it, I'm literally asking. I really don't know. You know what I mean? I'm trying to kick something around. I've got some opinions, but I'm ignorant in some of those areas. So the thing is, like, this presenting this as a personal rule, I got no problem with that. But what ends up happening with a guy in Jiří's position is people take this as like a moral claim, right, or an ethical standard that everyone should follow. And I think it's a mistake if people take it that way. You know what I mean? I don't know that Jiří's presenting it that way, but because of his standing and because he's decided to go public with this rule, a lot of people do take it that way. And if everyone takes it this way, that's going to be a disaster, a complete disaster. Because if there's one area where I think we need the wisdom of an elder in the church, a respected elder, someone that we respect his opinions and we respect his takes and we respect his reasoning. If there's any area that needs some of that, it's this area. It's really this area. And they need some interaction. They need some pushback. They need some conversations. Like that episode of Doug Wilson with Andrew Isker. That was so helpful because you could see sort of, you know, the pushback from someone who's also thoughtful on this, who's out there asking the right questions in some people's mind. And then the responses to it, it's very easy to see, maybe Andrew's onto something, or maybe he isn't, or whatever it is. Like, it's so helpful, right? So I think that there are completely legitimate reasons why someone would be anon and have these kinds of things to say. That should not require you to be like, well, you got to reveal yourself. You have to reveal yourself and give me your pastor's email address and all this kind of stuff. Like I think that's completely wrong if you did it in aggregate, right? Totally fine for an individual to have a rule like that. But if everyone takes that as the standard, that's going to be a disaster, because then you're going to have a situation where these important big issues, and Jiří, I think, says this in another tweet, like, this is a big one, right? And smaller ones, yeah, sure, I'll interact with the nuns. But in bigger ones, here's my requirement, send me your pastor's name. These are the big issues, right? And so if we don't have, you know, wise, you know, people with a little bit of a temperate nature, That's going to be what's going to happen is those conversations are still going to happen. They're still going to be kicked around, but they're going to be kicked around without the influence of a wise elder counterpoint. That's a big problem. That's a big problem, in my opinion. And again, I'm not saying that Yuri's not addressing this, because obviously he wrote tweets about this, but the interaction is really the key. That's where people can really understand things and kind of, you know, form their opinions, because they see the interaction and the weaknesses and the strengths and all that kind of stuff. That's the real key. And so I totally understand why some people are anonymous, because the infractions that you can allegedly engage in that can get you excommunicated are there's so many of them. It's a minefield out there. And so I think these conversations need to be had, should be had, and they should be had with people that maybe oppose the Anon Army from a position of wisdom and reasonableness and all that. So that the conversation's starved for that right now. It's starved, in my opinion. I, for one, would love to see more of it. So that's that. One thing I will say, though, is that, and my position on this has not changed. I've changed certain positions, but this one has not changed. If you're an Anon person, and it's at all possible for you to be public and have your name on your stuff, do it. Absolutely do it if you can. And there's always a little risk involved. So I'm not saying wait until there's no risk involved to put your name on something. There's always a little bit of risk, at least. But if it's possible in your situation, only you know your circumstances, I recommend putting your name on it. We need more of that, as much of that as possible. And don't wait until there's no risk, because that's never going to happen. But you've got to do your own calculations. Here's something else I will say. I do think that your pastor should know about your positions, should know about your interactions, your public interactions. I think you should have a pastor looking over your shoulder. And, I think that, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you should, your pastor should know what you're saying, what you're doing, and what you're thinking, and that should be the case. It's not so much so that Yuri can like reach out to them or whatever. But it's for your own good. It's for your own soul. So again, you have to know your own situation, right? And again, I understand there a lot of churches out there, they will kick you out for very minor things, right? But I think you need to figure that one out. You know what I mean? You need to find a situation where that would not be the case, and you'd have a pastor who you trust. Because what that reveals, if that's your situation, your pastor can't know about your online activity. I'm not so concerned about your personal online activity, because I'm assuming you go to God with that stuff. But the thing is, if your pastor can't know that, then you don't trust your pastor. And so if you don't trust your pastor, who's watching out for your soul? Who's taking care of your soul? You got to be able to trust your pastor. And so I'm not saying go and tell your pastor immediately about your Dark Lord Reaven account so he can watch it. And if you don't trust him, I'm not saying, put your name on there immediately without considering for the consequences if you don't trust him. But what I am saying is you need to figure yourself out here. You need to find a pastor you trust. And whether that means you have to, move or change churches or whatever it is, like, you've got to find someone that you trust that will call you out. That's the thing. It can't just be a pastor that is going to affirm you and everything. It can't be like that. It does have to be someone that's willing to call you out. Because if you don't have that and you have no one in your life that's an authority, spiritual authority over you that you can trust, that's a big problem. That's a big problem. I'll say for my piece, I do have pastors who at least occasionally monitor my social media account. And I have had confrontations. And when I say confrontations, that sounds so negative. But I have had them reach out to me with concerns about something that I said or a position that I hold and things like that. And so that is a very big blessing. That I don't enjoy those conversations necessarily, but they're so necessary, and they help me to trust my pastors more, because they care enough about my soul to say, "Hey, man, what about this?" You know what I mean? Hey, maybe look at this. I'm not understanding this. I'm not understanding this tone. I'm not understanding this or that. Like, that's so beneficial, man. It is so beneficial. And that doesn't mean I have to agree with them. But what it does mean is that they care and that they want to work. They want me to watch over myself, but they want to watch over me as well. They want to work towards a situation where we're all kind of marching towards holiness and marching towards righteousness and all of these things. It's such a benefit. And so if you don't have that, you need to get that because we can't just go. I saw a really good tweet. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Hold on. Here it is. It's from Anthony Deal. He's Coach Anthony. He's in the hospital, I think, right now, or at least he was recently. Pray for him. Anyway, he says, a weak man blames his circumstances. A man of character takes personal responsibility. This is very important, I think, and it applies to this situation with the non-accounts, right? Who, you know, they feel like they're kind of in a situation where they're trapped. Their pastor is, you know, doesn't understand. They don't trust him. You know, he can't know about this account, things like that. Right. I'm not saying you're weak, right? But what you need to do though, is consider your circumstances and find a better situation. Because here's the thing, like, you know, if you don't trust your pastor, that is a problem in way more areas than just your Anon account. The Anon account, in my opinion, is probably the least of your worries if you don't trust your pastor. You've got to consider your whole life, right? You got to consider your children as well. If you don't trust your pastor, that is a problem for your whole family. If you don't trust your pastor with an Anon account, that is a problem for your whole family. And I'm not saying you have to go public either. Again, I'm trying to be as generous as possible. You may never have to go public, but you do need people watching out for your soul. That is, you need that. I don't care who you are, you need it. And so understand your circumstances. That's what I said here. You know, it's very important to understand your circumstances, but the trap is that you blame your circumstances for your situation. And you gotta take some action is my point. So, all that to say, Yuri Brito, I mean, I agree in general with his ability to kind of regulate his own social media interaction. I don't think it's a good standard in general. I think someone is going to have to engage these Anon people about these kinds of issues. And someone should do it from a position of, trust and reasonableness. Someone with basically the character of Yuri. Someone with Yuri's attributes needs to address this kind of thing. It doesn't have to be Yuri, but it has to be someone. Because the conversations are going to be had regardless. They're always going to be had. And I think personally, in my opinion, we could really use some of the elder statesman types to engage it seriously without just throwing pejoratives out there. You know what I mean? Without just saying, oh, it's just envy. It's just all envy. Like, honestly, I don't think that's helpful at all. I don't think it's helpful at all. It's just, it's too easy to say, and you don't really even need to have any evidence, and you just throw it out there, right? I think it needs to be engaged much more seriously than that. And personally, you know, pretty much every online, you know, pastor who puts out that content, you know, obviously primarily for their own local church, but also for the church at large. The church at large, man, desperately needs this. They're starving for this kind of interaction. Like the Christian nationalism stuff is one thing. You know, you get Stephen to write a book, and that's helpful in certain ways. But what would be most helpful is to get serious interaction. And there has been some. Most of it has been complete clown shoes. And that's not helpful at all, except for, you know, we get a good laugh out of it, and everyone enjoys a good laugh. But serious interaction, where they're actually seriously taking these arguments and seriously responding and disagreeing and things like that. That's the most helpful thing. So that's my take here. That's my counterpoint. Hope you found this video helpful. God bless. All right. I know this. I know I had finished the episode, but right when I finished, I saw this tweet from Joe Zaza, and he's Joe Zaza on Twitter, and this is essentially the point. It puts a very fine and easy and concise point on what I was trying to say. So I wanted to read it because I give Joe Zaza all the credit here for saying this in one sentence. Here's what he says. He says, there is plenty of historical precedent for when in certain speech climate situations, pseudonymous writing is appropriate, even necessary for the author. Brito and anyone else are free to set their own parameters for engagement, but they are in effect self-limiting. This is exactly right. Exactly right. This is the whole point, right? Because, you know, in history, you read throughout history, people write books or pamphlets or articles without putting their name on it because of certain circumstances. So they say, here's what I'm going to do. My circumstances are not such that I'm going to put my name on this, but this needs to be engaged with, right? That happens throughout history. And a lot of our favorite works were written in that way. And so we can all understand why. So again, I think people should be public if they can be. If they can't be, they should try to find a way so they could be public. But if they don't want to do that, or if they can't do that for some reason, I don't know your circumstances. Everybody's circumstances are different. Then don't, and put it out there, right? And again, Yuri, he can do whatever he wants personally. No problem. But this is the problem for everyone else, right? If everyone does this, it's a problem for everybody. Because what we need right now are serious, thoughtful people like Yuri to engage this. And if Yuri doesn't want to do it, he's limiting himself and he's limiting his own impact in this particular area. And that's a judgment call that he has to make. But eventually someone is going to have to deal with some of this stuff. Someone is going to have to. You can't just say, oh, that's fringe and I just want to ignore it forever because eventually it's going to go away. That's typically not how it works. And without the wisdom of people like this, it's going to get even more crazy, if that's what you think it is. It's going to get, you know, worse and worse and worse from your perspective. The conversations are going to be had, but they're going to be had without you. And I personally think guys like Yuri have a lot to offer for this conversation. Guys like Doug have a lot more to offer on this situation than, well, you know, what I saw with the Andrew Isker conversation, in my opinion. Some people might have really liked what he had to say. I thought there were certain parts that were okay and certain parts that just were not helpful in any way. This is the point, right? You can do whatever you want and no one's going to be upset with you, but you're just limiting your own impact, which for my money is very valuable. Very valuable. Every single person who writes a stupid brain dead article about Stephen Wolf's book saying he's a racist, kinist, you know, evil, Nazi, whatever. Every single person who does that, all they do is hurt their own cause, because all we do is laugh at that. We laugh at it. We think it's so funny. We make memes about it. And you should see our private conversations because the memes are even better in there. It's just a joke. It's a joke. You're hurting everyone when you do stupid stuff like that. Like Owen Strawn has done nothing but hurt the conversation in the church, right? He doesn't hurt us because we laugh at him. We don't even take him seriously anymore. And that's a problem too, because I'm sure Owen has some good things to say, but at this point, I don't even take him seriously at all in any context, no matter what. I dismiss him out of hand, and he did that to himself. So that's the thing, like, if you think you have something important to say, then take it seriously. Take it seriously. Be as reasonable as you can. Do the cross-politic thing where they, you know, they're generous. That's what would be helpful, I think. And look, again, you don't have to do anything, but as a rule, the Anons will be responded to. It's as simple as that. And it'll be responded to either without your wisdom or with it. I think I know what the better choice is, but it's for you to decide. Anyway, that's it. Hope you found this helpful. God bless.